On every episode of The Aussie Standard Time, we're spotlighting South Asian-run businesses. This week's spotlight is on Paratha.
Oh God, one more podcast?
Hey everyone, and welcome to The Aussie Standard Time. We've got another great episode lined up for you guys today. I'm one of your hosts, Maz Khan, and with me I've got my boy.
What's up? Maz Ali, the other Maz out here. How's it going, everyone? What's up, Maz?
Not much, man. How are you?
Doing good, man. I think we got something a little special today.
Oh, yeah? Tell me a little bit about what we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. I love how commercialized this is, but anyway. So this episode brought to you by Desi Standard Time is called the Ungrazy episode. So Ungrazy, you know, for our listeners out there that don't speak Hindi or Urdu, means English. Right. So basically, we wanted to talk about, you know, the use of the English language in Bollywood films. So we want to discuss, you know, the top times it was discussed in movie dialogues, songs, you know, random references. And of course, our personal favorite, you know, moments that really stood out to us over the years.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I think this is going to be one of the more interesting topics that we cover because, you know, not only is it English that's being used in movies and songs and whatnot, but there's kind of like that undercurrent of westernization, right? It's like India wants to be hip and cool and catch up to kind of like Bollywood outproduces Hollywood every year by a lot. But, you know, they've just never been as cool. And, you know, a lot of it is the effects and the storylines and Bollywood just
plus
can't.
Plus, it's also just like colonialism. Like,
of course.
Low key at the end of the day, unfortunately, but hey, that's just the truth.
That's just the truth, right? You always want to rip off the big brother or whatnot. So there is that undercurrent of westernization. And I think that as we talk about this, these different instances of English and other Western themes coming through, you know, it's going to become pretty clear that that's what's going on. So,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, and I think over the years, it's kind of been fun because there's been instances where it has actually transitioned properly and we'll be like, hey, that's cool. And then other times where it's been a complete nightmare or fail and you're just like, wow, we really didn't need to do that, but man, we went there anyway. So,
right.
there's just a lot of instances of that. So I'm kind of excited to bring all those up.
There's so many awkward moments. There's just so many and we're going to get it. So let's just dive right into it. Right. So,
yeah, let's do it. Why don't you lead the way, man? Go ahead.
Let's talk about kind of how it all started, right? So, you know, we've been seeing English kind of introduced as part of dialogues and whatnot since way back when, right? Like in the days of Amitabh and whatnot, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of led the way then to even more liberal use of Western things like making out in movies, I think, is one way. Definitely.
There's so many like scenes already coming back in my head as you say those words, but yeah, I'm sorry. I won't interrupt. Why don't you continue?
No. Interrupt away. That's the whole idea here, right? So let's start with the language thing, right? I think that we've seen people like Amitabh and Dharmendra and these kind of like old school actors be they lead the charge in of like being cool and kind of following Western fashion trends. And that's an interesting concept, right? Like we don't really talk about fashion in Bollywood because we just like growing up, you watch it and you're like, oh man, like whatever they're wearing is so cool. But in reality, they're like a whole year behind Western culture.
Yeah. At least 5, 6. Yeah. like really, really far behind. I mean, Amitabh, like I do remember, like, I mean, he had the stunner shades. He had, you know, he was a, you know, fashion icon. I mean, Amitabh was the guy, right?
Right.
And I remember a very particular point where, you know, it's funny because like I grew up watching like Amitabh, right? I got older brothers and sisters. So Amitabh was just, I remember there was literally a point in time where we would hear, you know, one or two words in English and me and my siblings, we would just crack up because it was so like, it was just so foreign to us, right? Like, no pun intended, but so foreign to us. And now, like, modern day, we get here, and it's just, like, it's just part of, like, the culture. And I remember there was one scene in particular. I don't know why I just feel like bringing this up right now. But it's, like, a helicopter view of Amitabh driving a car. It's, like, it looks like a OJ coming down the 405 in 1994 And he pulls up to this the heroine in the film. I think it was either Hemamani or Rekha. And all you hear is the audio of Amitabh just going, "Hi there, sexy. Come on, hop in." Like, that's all, like, it was completely out of line. And it was just like, what? Like, but, you know, he was the trailblazer, right? Of, like, all things cool.
Okay. Also, quick. Okay. First of all, that's a great line. Nothing is better than, like,
yes,
calling a woman sexy as, like, her name. Mm-hmm. Like capital letter S, yeah, right? But
yes,
quick segue. How is it that Hemamalini and Rekha came in like all these movies together with Amitabh, and just no one was like, you know, this is a love triangle that we're basically promoting. We should stop. Like, which sick bastard was just like making these movies and was like, I know who we should cast. Let's cast all three of them, even though I know there's tension, and let's make it happen.
Yes. Exactly. No acting required. It was like literally like natural charisma, natural just like dynamics of them three just being blasted onto the screen, unfortunately.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't
rake on Hemamani.
Those of you who don't know, so Amitabh is the most revered and respected actor of all time. His wife is actually Jaya Bachchan, right? But he basically has this crazy chemistry on screen with both Hemamalini and Rekha. And so, for whatever...
Shout out to Parveen Bhabhi as well.
Parveen Bhabhi. So,
she was... Oh.
He was the original... He was the OG playboy, if we're looking at it, right? Like, this guy got away with murder. He was basically on screen with all these super, like, the most beautiful women of the time. And, you know, Jaya Bachchan's just in the corner, like, muttering under her breath, like, just wait till we get home. I just can't with you, Amitabh. It's over.
Seriously, God. Yeah. For real. I'm going to go back to my former maiden name, Jaya Bahaduri, because I just can't have this Bachchan anymore. It was, I mean, Amitabh, I think, arguably, the debate's always between Shah Rukh and Amitabh, right? But right. I think for me, I'm a little bit biased. I'm team Amitabh because that's just who I grew up with. But I think he, like, as far as like having a screen on-screen presence, probably GOAT. In my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the guy had a super... I'm just talking about like how he got away with murder, right? Like, this guy was pretty much just playing the field on screen for the whole world to see. And everyone's just like, oh, Amitabh can do no wrong. Like, this guy...
Exactly.
This guy poops gold. Like, there's no...
Exactly.
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, clearly I'm one of them, right? Like, you're trying to make this point of how Amitabh has, like, screwed over so many women. And I'm just like, but he had such a great... on-screen presence.
Yeah.
Look at that. Like, always, like, looking at the positives. Yeah, so
it's not like...
I'm gonna bite my tongue.
It's not like Shah Rukh is perfect, all right? The guy keeps coming in movies with, like, four-year-olds, basically, as his co-stars. So, it's...
That's just the... Yeah.
He's like the Catholic Church of Bollywood. Okay, never mind. They're women. Just kidding.
Oh, no.
All right. We're gonna bring it right back to where we were actually...
Let's stay on topic.
So, we're Amitabh basically talking to some honeys, pulls up like the fresh prince that he is and saying, "Hi there, sexy. Get in my car."
So, absolutely. Yes.
The voice too, right? It's just, how do you say no to that?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. And over the course of time, you know, we went from these one word excerpts, these one word, like, just like maybe at the most, like one line of like dialogue.
Right.
In Indian movies that would be exclusively English, right? And then from there, it would go on to, like, you know, many, many years later where it's like, okay, now we're going to incorporate some songs with a little bit of English, right?
Right.
We're going to incorporate some more dialogue. Screw it. Let's do monologues now in, like, entirely English. And it's just, like, over the course of time, it's just continued to, you know, increase.
Right.
You know, and we're trying, like, you know, a lot of Western themes out here, too.
Right. And there's, like, all these movies where, you know, there's a very serious character, whether he's, like, a professor or, like, a father figure or a mother figure or whatever, and they're giving like these lectures in English, and you're just like, oh my god, this is so, like, for people who, you know, we grew up speaking English, we're just like, wow, this is so bad. But, you know, something that I think is very true is people in India were probably watching this like, oh wow, this is fantastic English, we need to learn English like this. So it's just like, I don't know. It's crazy to me, like, the differences in culture, but you're right. So it basically graduated from simple one-word, like, phrases to, like, whole verses in songs, right? I mean, we saw this whole kind of push to have. So first of all, you know, the item number kind of took off over the last decade, right? Every movie, every sex sells, right? So,
yep, it does.
Oh, this actress is really hot, but she can't act. What should we do? I know, put her in a song.
Make her dance. Yeah, and it's just like so like, yeah. Anyway, I mean, we get it. We've talked about item numbers plenty.
Right, exactly. So like just having those in there and then the item numbers evolve themselves, right? Like we went from like the Chenya Chenyas of the world to the Munni Badnam Huis of the world to now there's like an obligatory rap verse. And I know that Imran Khan did like this great kind of parody of it with All India Bakchod called Every Party Song or whatever. And he literally criticizes in there like how, you know, every song has this rap verse in it and all
unnecessary rap verse. Yeah.
It's completely unnecessary. But it's obligatory. They have to do it. And these Desi rappers, they all act, you know, black, right? They're like, they're stealing rap culture until they're around black people. Then they're like super racist, right? And that's
exactly
called them straight out. So it's crazy. It's you're 100% on the nose there about it kind of moving from dialogue into the song universe. But let's backtrack just a little bit, right? So there's some instances where the dialogue actually demands English, right? I think my favorite example is Lagan, where
100
for those who are not familiar, there's a movie about Amir Khan leading a band of literally the worst cricket players in the world, defeating the best cricket players in the world for a country's independence.
Yeah, it's like India's answer to the Mighty Ducks, but like on a hilariously cosmic scale. Right. Like this is for our freedom. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. And okay, so my favorite part of that movie is it's definitely the English that like Amir Khan tries to have when he's speaking with the British, you know, hierarchy. Or whatever.
Yeah, like the kind of like, you know, more polished English, right? That's like a little more sophisticated, you know, with the slight, the nice mix of, you know, Indian accent and with English, right?
Right, exactly. Where the laugh is like, it's not like a normal laugh at all.
Yeah, it's a little like more through the nose and nasally, right? It's like, my nose is up here now, I'm going to laugh like, you know,
Thank you, madam. Yeah. But
absolutely, yes.
But the best part of that was the white people, the British folks, speaking Hindi, and they're just like "Hum tumhe teen guna lagan maaf karunga," and I'm like,
"Yes."
I mean, I have friends, right, and we can teach them like curse words and everything so easily, and they'll speak it like pretty well. No one sounds this bad, and this guy supposedly lived in India for like many years, and this is the best he can muster. Come on,
hey, he's trying, man. Honestly, you know what's funny about that? Like, it's been such a long time since I've seen Lagan, like, but the only moments I literally remember is the English, like you said, the whites speaking Hindi, Amir Khan attempting English. Even in the song, right? Like the white girl, whoever the hell she was, I haven't seen the movie in a while.
I forget her name. Yeah.
I forget her name. Yeah, but she does a whole like part in the song too, right? She's like, it's like offering a kiss, like that whole like part. Like that's all I remember from the movie.
My heart
that movie,
is
like
fast and
like,
right, all that.
My heart is
It's so ridiculous. But that was
had her Celine Dion moment. Yeah, I mean, she was literally that's what she was going for, and that was like an Oscar worthy movie as well, right?
Because it was nominated.
This is like a big thing. Unfortunately, that's all I remember. I just remember this white girl that falls in love with pretty much Amir Khan, who, you know, Amir Khan would have been a good Aladdin. Amir Khan's fit in Lagan is very Aladdin-esque. He has the vest, like the proper like pec definition. He has a cleavage.
He does look.
He
could fit.
Whoa.
He could fit. And it's not just because he's 5 foot like three, but yeah, he really could. Man,
yeah,
you just kind of blew my mind a little bit there.
Hey, man.
Too bad, but that would have required him to speak English, which we just established he can't do. So, all right, moving on.
Well, yeah, moving on. Anyway, go on.
Okay, so we've covered kind of, you know, the weird dialogue, and there's plenty of examples of people just having crap, like even famous songs, right? Like, what is mobile number? Like mobile number, right? Let's just talk about that word, mobile number.
Please, mobile, like, mobile. You have to say mobile, like it's almost like one syllable, mobile.
Mobile.
Like the mo has to be so like, mobile.
Mobile. And it still persists, right? You go to India, hey, did you enter the mobile? Did you talk on the mobile? Yep. Like it's a real thing. No one's a cell phone. No one's a cell phone there.
Nope.
It's crazy.
And I think another thing is, see, there's like different layers now, I feel like, when it comes to the English language. So like we've talked about how there's been like straight up like dialogue with English in it. And like you attested to Lagan being a movie where English was 100% absolutely necessary. And again, like there's a lot of these films where like, you know, it might be taking place in London, or shout out K3G with the Raichins, and like, you know, Gajol just hating English culture all around, and you know, like in movies like, you know, where they partake in the United States, and so you're going to hear a lot of English. But there's, I think India is smart enough too, because like there are moments, yes, when they try, like when they understand that like, hey, like we can use us speaking English, you know, comedically, right.
Like,
there is a whole and there's like that, but then there's also like very opportune moments, very emotionally invested scenes where everyone's really engaged in the scene, right? It's like, oh my god, this is a turning point, or this is like, you know, the climax of the scene, and then like the dialogue is like straight up in English, like, and it completely ruins and takes you out. You're like, why did that happen? Like, right. Like for example, if you remember in Bhagwan, for those of you that have not seen Bhagwan starred Amitabh Bachchan, Hema Malini, and some, yes, of course, yeah, God, wow, and Salman Khan, and again, this is like way after like their raunchy, like, you know, movies from raunchy chemistry from the 80s. This is like far removed from that. This is like late 90s, early 2000s. So poor Hema Malini, forever tortured, unfortunately. But hey, she had Dharminder and she had three kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, so with. In that scene, there's this particular scene where, let me backtrack a little bit. Sorry. The movie is about, you know, parenthood and how over the course of time, their relationship changes with their kids and how kids feel like, you know, their relationship and their parents are a little more obsolete. They start ignoring them. So it's about like, you know, maintaining like family.
It's the original Master of None, right? Like it kind of was, first of all, I watched that movie with my dad and I felt so guilty because the whole movie is literally about like, you know, Amitabh and Hema Malini having like these three kids that completely neglect them in their old age when they had like given up. I mean, it was super dramatic. Like we gave up everything for our three kids and now they won't do anything for us, which, you know, on some level is probably very true for a lot of people. But
no, it's true because I remember when we watched it, I mean, like nobody in our family was married and we were kind of like laughing at the absurdity of some of the scenes, like, literally one of the sons, like the wife cries and then Hema Malini is sad too. But then like the wife cries more and he looks at Hema Malini and he's like, did you see that? Like you made my wife cry. And like, it's just so ridiculous. But like, unfortunately, like it is dramatized, but yeah, it is kind of sad. Cause I mean, that does occur. Like,
that does happen for sure.
Yeah, it does happen. But going back to the point that I was saying originally, no, it's cool. It's baby. It's cool. Don't even trip. But there's a scene where one of the daughters is in the club with the most chachora guy in the world, right? This guy, they're in a club. And actually, I just recently rewatched the scene. And the club is, I think, the same club from The Dark Knight where the Batman goes through and finds Maroni in the club. I think it's literally the same club. So side note, I don't know why I'm a movie geek, but here we go.
Yeah.
So the guy is trying to get hot and heavy with the daughter. And he at one point like tears off like her sleeve or like her like, yeah, sleeve of her dress, and pushes her against the wall because, like, she's being resistant. Be like, no, 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 like, dude, leave me alone, right? Stop being such a creep. He cracks his neck, approaches her, and calls her not Sali, but Sala, right? So that's like a double whammy. He called her Sala, but not even, like, the proper gendered, you know, wording of that word.
He called her a brother-in-law, not a sister-in-law. Amazing.
Exactly.
Screwed up the Hindi, okay?
Yes, exactly. And then Hema Malini saves her daughter. She turns the chachora around, slaps him across the face. And first things first, I want to say this. Let's stop and pause. Like, Hema Malini, she walked into this club in a sari, which means she walked past a bouncer, which means either the bouncer got tipped by Hema Malini or the bouncer knew Hema Malini. Again, sidetracking. But anyway, she literally slaps.
That's my worst nightmare, like, in college, right? Like, Could you imagine being at like a bar or a club or like just anywhere, like in a room with your friends, and your mom walks in full sari and slaps you? And it's just like, yeah.
Oh my God.
Did There's you think I wouldn't know?
Seriously, is there any more humbling scenario than that, right?
Nothing. Like, nothing. You can't come back from that. At that point, you might as well drown in the sari. Like, there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, hell no.
Okay.
So she slaps the crap out of this chichora. Yeah, she slaps the crap out of this chichora. He holds his face, looks up at her, and goes, hey, buriya. And again, Hindu, Urdu speakers, he calls her pretty much an old hag. And then Hemamani, word for word, I kid you not, retorts with, hey, who the hell do you think you're calling me like this, you scoundrel? And she like goes off on this guy and pretty much says, do not touch my daughter. I will mess you up. Get the hell out of here. She kicks him out of the club. So essentially she ends up being the bouncer.
Amazing.
And again, that's a scene that's so like, man, like everyone was like, oh my God, this guy's a creep. He's about to get on the like get fresh with this girl. That's not tight. Right. And Melani comes, saves the day. We're all happy to see her. But why did she have to speak that entire dialogue in English? And on top of that, her English, mashallah, like there was another award show where she presented an award to Preeti Zinta. And again, English was mashallah, like just like right. really, really like hilarious.
It's,
right?
So. It's fine if you don't speak it. Like it's cool. Just don't speak it. Like you don't see people in other countries that don't know English forcing themselves to speak English, right? And in fact, you usually see my parents have been living in the US for over 30, you know, 5 years or whatever, and they still do not give a crap about English. Like they don't want to speak it unless they absolutely have to. So I just don't understand why Bollywood felt like they needed to include. And that's a great example, right? Like this epic scene that's supposed to be like, oh, like she's still protecting her daughter even when her daughter has turned her back on her mom and everything.
Right.
And then she just ruins it with this scoundrel like BS. So it's crazy. You hit the nail on the head there, right? Again, because it's just like it's not necessary. It's totally optional. And the best choice is to go with the native tongue that they feel comfortable in. And the worst choice is to make them say some awkward line that's only going to make people who do speak English laugh and people who don't speak English wonder what she even said, and they chose the worst option. So I just don't understand.
Exactly. Hey, man, trial and error, though. Trial and error. We gotta try things out.
I guess so. All right, so this is a good place to take a break. We're going to go ahead and cut to our spotlight for this episode. Every week we bring you a new South Asian-owned company, business, or venture that you know we can spotlight for you guys and really help showcase the talent that our South Asian brethren bring to the industries around us. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back after a short break.
This week's South Asian spotlight is with Paratha, LA's halal desi food truck. Up next, we hear more from co-founder Asim Barwani.
So I was recently at a food truck festival at Griffith Park. And I saw my usual variety of pizza, ramen, and grilled cheese trucks, but as I panned, suddenly a unique truck caught my eye. It was bright teal with the truck art our South Asian roots breathe, and off I was trying my first paratha at LA's very own paratha food truck. Awesome. Tell us how you got started, man.
Hey, Maz. The paratha journey actually started when my wife Zara and I were craving some of my brother-in-law's homemade kebab rolls we devoured in Chicago. They have a ton of desi food options out there.
Oh, man. Chicago kills it, man. Devon Street, shout out to them. Yeah. I mean, I can't say the same for desi food options in LA.
Yeah, exactly. Getting respectable desi food options around here has never been as easy as it should be, especially for cities this big. So we were like, screw it. We made our own place to go to for a premium desi street food experience.
Do it yourself. I love it. Yeah. And I got to say, I mean, it was such a nice change of pace to eat desi food without feeling heavy afterwards.
Thanks, Maz. You had our reishma roll, right?
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. Our reishma roll, I really love it. We use high-quality ingredients in all of our food, but the reishma roll is our specialty. It's got Wagyu beef. It's super tender, and we were really proud of it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely taste all the unique flavors. Oh, man, yeah. But I got to say, Austin, my favorite item, though, was definitely the mango lassi.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So flavorful. And I still actually use the glass jar it came in, and I love the branding on it. It said, Bio.
Yeah, that's actually the Basanti Lassi is one of our most popular. That's my favorite too. We make it extra thick. And thanks for noticing about the branding, too. Zara and I design everything in-house, actually.
That's awesome.
You know, from the beginning, we said we need to proudly represent our Desi culture and food, equally to those who grew up with it, and, you know, more importantly, to those who have never been properly introduced to it. Mm-hmm. Brown is in, after all. Mm-hmm. And from the feedback we're hearing on both sides, I think people are really loving us.
Man, I mean, I would say so. But no better way to judge such than by trying it. So awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And everyone join Awesome and Zara by heading to Instagram.com/HelloParata and Parata spelled P-A-R-A-T-T-A to see where they'll be next or order delivery.
Thank you, Mons.
Hey, thanks, Awesome.
All right, welcome back. Before we left, we were talking about the different ways that English has been used in Bollywood, always not very well. We touched a little bit on how it's used in songs. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. Right now, I kind of want to bring the conversation around to something that we did sort of mention, which was the westernization and kind of, you know, the Western world is very comfortable with sexuality and being able to kiss on camera and have even overtly sexual acts. And it doesn't seem awkward, right? It's like French and butter, right? French people eat their butter, they drink their wine. And to them, because they've been doing it for such a long time, from a very young age, it's just, you know, it's common for them.
You, my friend, are a poet with that analogy, I must just say.
it's the truth. And, you know, growing up in a Desi household, sexuality is like, it's like the end of days for us, right? Like, you just do not talk about it. It's forbidden. Mm-hmm. You're kind of just, it's very awkward, right? You're just not used to talking to the other sex. You don't know how to go about the sexual nature of a lot of the interactions that we have as you grow up. And, you know, we all go through the hormonal stages. So
keep going. I was too awkward for me. I couldn't even speak about it. So
it was fantastic. Hey, I'm so cool. I had like so many girls like growing up like I always knew what to say and I could always ask a girl out when I liked her. I had no issues.
Love that. I
said no brown guy ever unless he was lying through his teeth.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was, Oh, that's like a whole other episode we could talk about. Holy crap. Anyway.
Seriously. And how Bollywood ruined us all romantically. Really, okay. Truly. So, but then, you know, Bollywood tried to bring in the sexual acts. They tried to bring in kissing, making out. Yes. There was really, really, really awkward, like, rape scenes. You know, I almost, like, that's a whole nother episode, honestly. But, you know, there'd be like a flash of lightning and then like you'd see a weird face and a guy just doing just terrible things. So we're not even going to talk about that. That's a whole other thing. But the kissing, like the consensual kissing between actors, mm-hmm. It was painful. It was painful to watch when it first started to go down. I forget the first instance.
I remember my first time. To be honest. In Hindi films. It was, for me, it was Mohabbatein. Oh my god. Yeah. That was the first time for me.
When Uday Chopra makes out with Shamita Shetty, right?
Yes, like, freaking son of Yash Chopra with Sharara Garara herself. Yeah, like he... Yes. I remember, like, first of all, the entire movie, like, they were the raunchiest couple, right? They were always, like, working out. They were always wearing, like little to no clothing whatsoever. I remember we were watching Mohabbatein. The first time I saw it was at home on our VCD in the fall of 2000. And our family,
Six-in-one movies.
Yeah, shout out to those if you ever got pirated movies from the motherland. But our family's watching that movie. And we just know that this kiss is coming. And this was our first instance. So they're getting closer and closer. And my dad just senses it. He's like, chal aage barado, please. And so we start forwarding. And, you know, when it would forward on DVD, like, it would kind of skip, right? And so you would see, like, a small, like, you know, a skip of, like, a scene. And we see it coming. And slowly, just, like, one frame at a time, like, Uday and Sharara Garara girl, one frame at a time, getting closer and closer. And then just, like, lips touch. And our entire family just lost it. Like, we're like, what? This actually happened? We never thought we'd see the day. Like, holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the worst, right? When you're like skipping through and you kind of like, you see each frame kind of in slow motion. It does the opposite of what you're intending to do.
Exactly. It like drives it home that much harder.
Quick side note, that movie was specifically made for Uday Chopra to kind of like make his, like, yes, Chopra pretty much put him in. The opening scene, like his first scene is him getting off the train in a sleeveless vest and nothing else underneath.
Shabash, better. Just shabash.
Like, yeah. Just like flexing his arms. He thought he was so ripped.
Oh, man.
And, you know, the world hadn't seen Hrithik yet. So he thought he was just like the hottest dude on this side of, you know, I don't know, Tom Cruise. And he was just not. Because, okay, so earlier in that movie, there is another kiss, right? So Kim Sharma is her name. I believe the one who, with Samir, right? The one where he likes her and he's friend zone or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And her
The case of every brown guy, literally in the world.
Right, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. And her like, douchebag boyfriend comes up and they kiss.
Yeah.
And it's totally natural. It's done really well in the sense that you don't think twice about it. I only remember this because I'm weird. But, you know, you don't think twice about it. It's just a normal kiss. And then, yeah, then you have that weird, like, if I remember correctly, when Uday and Shamita are kissing, it's like going around them, right? Like, just like honing in on their lips. And it's just so bad. Like, if anyone kisses like that, I think that they should get, like, dumped the next day. The like, that's day. Just...
Yeah.
No, sorry. That moment, like, it's just unacceptable.
I think, you know what? It's unacceptable. It's crazy because, like, you mentioned, like, the pan around the both of them. And you know it's a bad kiss when if you're crossing one of, like, the faces, like, head on and you see the back of their throat, meaning that, like, they've completely missed their target. You know that's a problem. Right. And that's like, okay, this is their first time doing this. Yeah.
How can you be that far off? I mean, it's not hard. Like, there's one mouth in front of you, and you have one mouth on your face. Like, just make them meet.
I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh my God. Like, yo, it's one thing like how to be bad I like at how
kissing. Suddenly, I like how suddenly we're, like, on Loveline. Like, we're on Adam, like we're Adam Carolla, and we're, like, all experts on this. Like,
I'm Dr.
No.
Drew. I call Dr. Drew.
Yeah, we are not. Not at all.
Yeah. It's bad. Okay, so, you know, so kissing came in. It was really bad for many years. I mean.
Right.
They wanted to bring it in to kind of be more Western, be more cool. Like, hey, we're modern. Like, we're up to date with the rest of the world. But it was just so bad. And everyone cringed. Like, first of all, no one was at that point with their families in a Desi household to be able to see a kiss on screen and feel comfortable. So everyone cringed just on that.
Right.
And then even people who were watching Bollywood movies that maybe weren't even Desi, or maybe, you know, kids like just watching it on their own without their parents around. Yeah. They were cringing because it was just, like, you didn't even have to kiss. Like, I hadn't even kissed a girl at that time, right, when Mohabbatein came out. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was just awful.
Right.
So.
You know, actually, so, to coattail off what you're saying, not just kissing, but there's, like, a lot of, like, sometimes, like, again, disclaimer, everything we say is out of love. Like, we love Bollywood at the end of the day. We understand, like, you know, the trends, even though they're trying to do and stuff like that. It's like, no, it's, like, cool because, like, I mean, whether we like it or not, like I mentioned before, there was one point in time where one word spoken in English, like, for example, Madhuri Dixon and Hamapke Akon, like, the uncle asked him, Beti, aap kya padhti ho? And her answer was literally, computer, and that's it. Like, that used to crack us up, right?
Yeah.
And so, like...
She's, like, over the pool table. She's like, computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, computer party.
Wow, you are reading computers. Sick. But anyway, so it's like, you know, it's gone from that to like to being like so forced in our throat until now it's like whatever, like, you know, I can rap like Bacha's entire part from Dil Hai Mushkil, right? Look, baby, mujhe lag raha hai, right? Like the whole thing, and you know, so many parts. So it's like I get it, and like at the end of the day, like we're a fan, right? But like there's some instances where sometimes you're just like, I understand, like, it's kind of cool to do that. Like, it's kind of cool to add a little bit of, like, English here and there and stuff like that. Or, like, a little bit of, like, Western, like, touches here and there. But then at times, it's like, when you try too hard to be sexy, it just gets straight trash. If you remember Encante, there's this whole song, Mahive. Mahive. Yeah. Right? Like, it was in a strip club. And I remember watching the whole thing. It was so, like, literally a white girl just doing splits, like, zoomed in on her crotch, going down a pole. That was shown maybe 46 times in a span of, like, 2 minutes. I probably went through puberty literally in that sitting in that theater. It was like, but it's like so in your face and so trashy, right? So it's just like, you don't need to do that. I mean, do you really? I don't know. Maybe I needed it. Maybe.
There's a right and wrong way to do it, I feel like. And, you know, I think that there was definitely like an 8-year period where that's a really oddly specific number. I don't know how I came up with it. But there was like this definitely period towards like the, like maybe 2006 to 2012, maybe. I realize that's now 6 years. But that they just didn't do it well. Like, it was the Imran Hashmi period, I like to call it, where, you know, it was...
Serial kisser.
He was just sticking his tongue. He was sticking his tongue down any throat.
Any crevice.
Male, female, like, animal. It didn't matter. Like, he was putting his tongue anywhere it would fit.
Galore. Yeah, for real.
And the dude made a career out of it. Like, he has no acting chops, cannot deliver a dialogue, cannot dance. There's nothing about... He's decent looking, I guess, but, like, does that really even matter? Like, the guy just made a career off of doing steamy makeout scenes in every single movie he came
in. But that's so tight at the same time. Like, he literally, like, he found a niche.
He's our hero. He's our hero.
He's, like, he literally found, like a niche, right? Like, okay, this is an untapped market. There is no one guy that literally just makes out with every girl. I'm going to be that guy. Sure. Will my self-respect go down the drain? Absolutely. 1000%. Will I be booking roles? Will I be a household name? You damn right I will be. And like, he just did that. You know what I mean? He just has no shame. And if you see him like in his episode with Coffee with Curran too, he's like, that's who he is as well. Like, his, like, answers, like, when Karan Johar would ask, like, you know, if you had to choose to do a very steamy scene with someone, like, who would it be, right? And, like, right off the bat, he's like, Deepak Padukone, I swear, right? Like, he was just going, like, that's just who he is, man. He's that Chachora. So, good for him. Good for him for tapping in. Yeah, man, he got it, you know? Go get it, boy.
And, you know, as much fun as we're making of him for, like, being this, like, serial kisser,
yeah,
he wasn't bad at it. Like, his scenes, I mean, look, depending on how much tongue you appreciate in your kisses... It looked like a real kiss versus everything else, which looked like two people headbutting each other with their lips instead of their foreheads.
Yeah, he was no Uday, let's just say that.
Yeah. And, okay, so you also brought up an interesting point, right, which was kind of like, it became cool at some point to speak English. It became cool. Oh, also, okay, real quick, before we get into that. You know, we've been talking about kissing and, like, how it's, like, weird and gross. But there's been a lot of other things that also come up that is, like, Western culture that India really wants to be, like, a part of. Basketball, right? Let's talk about in Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, right? And how awful. Like, it's still, like, we both play basketball, so we know just how awful that opening scene is when they're playing basketball against each other. He travels every single time. He's literally like dribbling the ball 18 feet away from his body. It doesn't make any sense.
It's above, like, it's like way above his, like, his head when, like, you can't dribble the ball above your shoulder, right? Like, it's like high.
At one point, he literally, like, just picks the ball up, like, holds his hand underneath it, like, carries it, and then starts dribbling again. He's like, I got it. It's awful. Okay, so there's other examples. We're kind of honing in on, you know, two important things, like the language and the making out, but there's a lot of examples of this westernization attempts that either went awry. Some of them did go, you know, better. But, you know, that's a topic for another day. But, okay, you touched on something really interesting, which I thought is important. And that's where we've got to at this point. Because, you know, India has, in the last decade, emerged as a global power. You know, economically, it's the world's fastest growing economy. And, you know, obviously they're outsourcing a bunch of people into other countries and they're dominating computers, much like Madhuri was in Hamad Gekon. So English has become, you know, a very, it's not uncommon to hear every single person in India who grew up, you know, in the last 20 or 30 years to speak English fluently, right? Very common. And with that, we also got a lot of actors and actresses who maybe didn't speak even Hindi as like a language, right? Maybe they their first language is some other language and they learned Hindi later on and they entered Bollywood, right? So Sunny Leone is I mean, her career arc is a whole different spectrum, but Katrina Kaif also in this, and then my favorite, Kalki, her name is pronounced Kalki Geklan. That's how she pronounced it. Geklan. Okay. And she's, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, she's the mysteriously white but speaks really good Hindi girl from Ye Jawani Hai Deewani. So yeah. That girl who shows, she shows up in a few other movies, but she, you know, she's French. She was born in India, but she grew up in France, and she, you know,
right.
Hindi is maybe like her first or second language. You know, she probably learned at the same time. But yeah. These guys have now come in, and they speak a better brand of English. When you hear, and you guys, you know how much I hate Katrina, but her English is pristine. And then you compare
yeah,
it to
that,
like...
That's what she spoke, yeah.
Exactly. And then you compare it to like Deepika, and you're just like, oh my God.
Like, hey, man. Hey, I like the accent though, man. I like the accent. I mean, we both do, but we're just comparing.
Yeah, I mean, Deepika can do no wrong. But okay, yeah, so it's become cool. So I went to India 3 times last year, and one of the things I noticed was like, I thought it'd be cool, you know, just happen to like travel through India real quick. I thought it would be cool to speak like with an American accent there. And instead I was shunned. Like there is a cool English/Hindi accent in India. And it marks the elite kind of like they have a specific accent. To us, it's a Fabi accent, right? We hear it and we're like, this is Fabi. Mm-hmm. But to there, it's like a sign of class.
Yeah. And you know what you were? You know what you were, dude, to them? You were a burger. That's I think is a proper like terminology when it's like you're Desi obviously, but then you're like, you know, from America, or you're like whitewashed. So like, I think from what I've heard, that's like something that they call like those types of like, you know, Desi's like, oh, he's a burger. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
wow.
That's what you were. Yeah. That's what you were, bro.
I'm a Royale with cheese. All right, let's get it right. But wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, there's like a really, and you see it, right? Like you see it on these, and the more I like, so I didn't realize it before. And then once I kind of got to understand that from people telling me so, I started to look back at like Coffees with Garan and stuff like that, where Shahrukh would be speaking in that accent. And it's like, oh, these guys are doing it on purpose to kind of like establish how cool they are, and it's become like the status symbol really. And I think it's interesting. I mean, it's getting better for sure, and I think we're in a good place now. You know, we still got those item numbers with their godforsaken rap.
Speaking of item numbers, holy crap, I just remember literally, oh my god, what a way to literally talk about everything we're talking about and like how much of a fail. So sometimes in item numbers, obviously these are very like sexually charged songs. There is one from 2012. This was an item number girl who wasn't actually like a famous actress or anything like that. And I'm sorry to completely cut you off, my friend Maz, but like this is just has got to be brought up.
Please.
They used a double entendre. It was a movie called Joker. I don't know who this actress was, but I think she thought that her life was going to be completely different after the designer number because, hey, that's how a lot of people start. But she was never to be seen again because she did one song where the word F-A-K-H-T, fucked, right? That means like want or like desire, right? So they literally made a song called I Want to Fuck to You, I Want to Fuck to You. Like that is like what? And they literally thought this was a good idea.
Oh like, my god. I've never even heard this song.
Please
have to
YouTube
watch
tonight.
This.
Everybody listening, please for the love of god, do yourself a favor. Search on YouTube, I want to fuck you.
Wow.
Please search that, but later they changed it to I want just you. I want to just you because they realized what the hell they did. Yeah. This was the 2010s version of Sexy Sexy Mujhe Log Bolde to Baby 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 Mujhe Log Bolde. Yeah.
I think I really think that like someone was probably just in the back just laughing, right? Like someone knew exactly what they were doing and they were just like, I can't believe they fell for it. Like,
yeah,
it's like the time you ever see that like the news story where they fool them into saying like these are the passengers that are like being reported missing, and it was just like something Wong or Holy Fook, like it was stuff like something. It's like that. It's like someone's messing with them,
right,
and they don't know they're being messed with. Another great example. So this one isn't even an item number, and this is how pervasive it was. It wasn't even just item numbers. Everyone has seen Race, I think, and
Hell,
there was that.
Yes.
I forget the name of the song, but it has like that weird interlude in the middle where it's like, baby, I love you.
Atif, man. Atif Aslam, yeah.
It was an Atif Aslam song. And the song is so spectacular.
Good.
And then it just gets ruined with this weird English verse that sounds like it's... That's the song.
Baby, I love you. Yeah, and it's like, what?
Baby, I love you.
What? Baby, oh, also shout you. Out. Baby, I love you so. There's another Atif song where the song starts... Shining in the setting sun like a pearl upon the ocean cup. Like, no I'm one... Feel like, what?
Come and heal me. Yeah, I don't... We should do an Atif episode, honestly. That guy is... He's God, something
ideas,
else.
Ideas. But yeah, ideas, no one has ever described either the sunrise or the sunset or the sun setting into the water like a setting pearl upon the... Like, what? No.
It doesn't
like,
even make any sense.
It's never been described that way, yeah. A pearl's in the middle is in the ocean. It's part... Yeah, anyway. What do I know? What do I know, honestly, at the end of the day? God.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Man. So many. I mean, okay. So I do want to go back just to kind of wrap things up to what you said earlier. Look, I know we sound like a bunch of haters sometimes as we're going through all these instances and whatnot. At the end of the day, you know, Bollywood influences us in a lot of different ways. And we didn't probably realize some of these ways until we grew up. And, you know, the awkward kissing, that's something that stuck with me until, you know, I was an adult. And being able to kiss girls and whatnot, like that was what my idea of kissing was like this weird, awkward thing that doesn't look like something I wanted to do, right? Like it didn't look desirable the way that they did it. And so what we're really talking about is, you know, it's just weird seeing it from the outside. Like we grew up in America and so we speak, you know, perfect English and watching, you know, our favorite actors and actresses kind of struggle, you know, to use it and definitely not even be able to use the same kind of wit and whatnot that we are. It's easy for us to just kind of sit here and judge them. But in reality, it's a true kind of act of bravery to get up on screen and speak in a language that you don't even, you know. So,
or, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, too, it's like it's probably just weird to us because, again, like at the end of the day, we're born in America. We are watching like, you know, our movies and our beloved culture, like, you know, from afar. And that's just like, you know, that's also just like everyday life. So it's like, yeah, it could be funny to us. And we're like, I could do without that. But like, you know, it's just something that obviously stuck out to us. And we're just like, God, there's just still so many memories and still so many moments and instances. And well said. I think it's just. It's just interesting to see, you know, it's just like, okay, like this is what it is, you know, for them, this is how it is. But yeah, no, I mean, it's just funny to touch and like to, it's just fun to talk about, honestly.
It really is. Anytime I can work Imran Hashmi into a conversation and talk about how his tongue was in every possible crevice for
you are the 6 years. Of the party. Yes.
That's
you are at a bar mitzvah talking about Imran Hashmi. You are a sure hit, my friend.
For sure. I mean, I don't understand why anyone would not want to talk about that.
Yeah. So. Also, another shout out I want to give. I feel like I just have to because Amitabh is someone who's I will forever be blinded by no matter what he's done. But in Namakalal, 1982, I mean, one of my favorite scenes of all time, he's, you know, at a hotel and he's trying to get a job. And, you know, Ranjith, the actor who's like his boss, is hiring him. And he's like, tumko... Angrezi bhi aati hai, sirf Hindi aati, right? And then Amitabh goes, lo baat, are bebe, see English aave ke da, I can leave Angrej behind. You see, sir, I can walk English, I can talk English, I can sing English, because English is a very pandi language. And he does this whole dialogue where, and again, that's cool, because, like, you know, Bollywood understands, like, hey, I know it's funny, you know, English is, like, that's also, like, that's just being self-aware and be like, this is going to be funny for people. Amitabh does this whole spiel about, like, you know, Australia versus India in a cricket match, and he's like, ultimately they got out, and like he's just this is a job interview, and it's hilarious and one of the most watched scenes in my household. But yeah, man,
I remember that scene. No, and you're right, yeah. There's some like really good self-aware kind of American English comedy. Like Johnny Lever was probably one of the best at it, right? Like
he
uses it like to perfection in so many different roles. Where he's like, he speaks fast. Oh, like Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, when he's like this, Australian nut or whatever at the camp, and he'll just be like speaking in English, and it's really good. It's funny, and you know, truly something that you can appreciate.
Yeah, no, I think that was Johnny Lieber was hilarious. The whole scene where the queen was like, you know, her portrait was laying on the floor and he's just crying. And I love that. My favorite is there's this whole scene. I forget what movie, but like Johnny Lieber is literally hitting on some like white girl, European girl, and he's just trying to mack on her. And it's fantastic to watch because we're watching Johnny Lieber mack on this random European woman. He goes up to her and he's like, "Where from?" And she goes, "Poland." And he's like, "Poland." He's like, "You need to come to India." He's like, "You'll be chickney chickney goody." And like, he's just like hollering at her. But again, it's just like self-awareness and it's hilarious, right? He's just like,
yeah, it's done in a better way.
Yeah.
It's done in a better way for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, there are some great examples out there, but yeah, I think just to summarize, you know, today's episode, there's a lot of kind of, we just kind of scratched the surface here today about all the different ways that Western culture pervaded through Bollywood. You know, one of the biggest ways that we saw was language, also kissing, fashion, we didn't even talk about, you know, sports. There's all these different examples, but probably the easiest and most recognizable way is obviously through language, is the thing that people spend the most time doing in any movie.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah. And another thing we could have talked about too is just the influx of random white people in the backgrounds or as like extra dancers and stuff like that. Oof. Right, yeah, that's a whole another episode of that too.
We could go on and on, as always. Yep. So great. Well, thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Like, follow, subscribe. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. You know, we hope you keep listening, and yeah, we'll see you soon with the next episode. Yeah.
And you know, like if you guys have any, like, you know, any thoughts or comments to share, your favorite memories of, like, you know, of a topic that we're talking about, comment away on our Instagram, on our Twitter, wherever you feel is best fit. We'd love to interact with y'all.
Yep. Please send us your favorite misused English quotes in Bollywood movies. We'd love to talk about them.
Yep. I can honestly barely speak English myself, so.
Yeah, I keep calling it American like an idiot.
Seriously, God, who are we?
Oh, man. Anyways. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
Signing off. Deuces.
Bye.
Late.